Back here on Darren and Donick on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Hey, it's the end of the week. Game 5 is tomorrow afternoon. You should be having a good day. We are. Lord Stanley's Cup was in the house. Howie Barrow joined us a couple segments ago. Now we've got Reed Besch in here. His Man of the Year campaign. He's got a unique story that we want you to hear. He's a huge Predators fan. He's a huge Titans fan. He's a fan of Nashville. He's a Nashvillian. And now he's going to tell you a little bit more about how you can help him. Reed, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
Did you get a picture with the cup?
Absolutely. I'm with y'all. I did not touch it, though. I had my
sign.
Reed and I are on the same page. Yes.
Exactly.
So that was, and I said, that's fine. I mean, to each his own. So you chose, because you told us during the break, you are a creature of habit.
Absolutely.
You have superstitions, and you have an approach to every Predators game. So
absolutely.
Tomorrow, how will you go through leading up to a 2 o'clock puck drop? What is it? You said 30 minutes before is when everything begins with you.
Absolutely. So I have different for home and away for sure. I got two different jerseys or so. But the 30 minutes before, TV has to be on the Pred station. I turn it on immediately. 20 minutes before game, I put my jersey on. 3 minutes before the game, I put on my hat that I wear every time. And I do that for every Preds home game. I got to. Even if I'm going to the arena, I will not wear my jersey until 20 minutes before puck drop.
Interesting.
I got to do my part.
You don't
as a
mess
fan.
With the winning streak.
Yeah, exactly. You don't mess
with what works. Each
I'm
fan's got to come up with those.
I love
those
hearing
things.
These stories. I do. And the fact that you do that, and hockey season's long.
Oh, yes.
Especially when you're doing a lot of winning like the Predators.
Absolutely.
It's long. So that's really cool. So let's get down to business. Let's tell everybody about your story, and we'll just kind of go from there. So how did this all begin for you? Because you're a young man.
Yes.
So this obviously probably took you and everybody in your family and your friends and your circles back a bit, because
Absolutely.
This is not supposed to happen at your age.
No. So I graduated from Rhodes College in 2017 with a business degree, had just left. I moved back home to kind of save up some money for my own apartment. My parents asked me to help clean out the garage, and it was like the worst thing ever at that time. You know, you're a kid, you don't want to help do anything at your parents' house. But so I pick up a box and I twisted the wrong way, and all of a sudden I heard a pop in my hip. Now, I played sports all through high school and in college, so having pops and creaks lifting is nothing to me. I'm used to it. But this one was a little different. There was some pain that just wouldn't go away. So later on that evening, I kind of told my mom, I was like, this is really not going away. Something's going on. She took me to the emergency room. They confirmed that there was no bone damage, but I had, in fact, torn the labrum in my hip. I was like, okay, what does that mean? They said, follow up with an orthopedic. You'll look at surgery. Okay. It's not ideal, but, you know, I'm used to it. I've had injuries before, so it's just going to be rehab, and I'll be back out.
Because you played football, right?
Correct. Yes, I played football all 4 years at Rhodes College. So I went in for the orthopedic. He said, yes, you probably tore your labrum. Let's get an MRI to confirm this, and insurance will help with the surgery, and we'll be on your way to recovery. So I went. I got the MRI in the machine. The machine broke on me the first time, the MRI machine. They were like, the coil's not working. You're not getting any pictures. You're just wasting your time. Like, awesome. That's what you want to hear. So I had to reschedule, came back in the second time, and the doctor called me about an hour after the MRI images got to him, and he said, Reed, your bone marrow looks different. Go get blood work, and we'll talk about surgery. Well, I don't know what bone marrow is at this point, so I was like, did I chip the bone? Did I make it worse? What's going on? So January 15th of 2018, about a month after me lifting that box, I went, got blood work done, went home, and the doctor called me that evening saying, Reed, I don't like to give bad news, but we caught it early. You have evidence of acute leukemia. Vanderbilt Medical Center's waiting for you. Bomb dropped. I mean, me and my parents are just like, are you sure? Like, this kid has a hip that's hurting. And he said, well, what's happening is you have cancer cells that are actually rubbing in your hip the wrong way, causing it to inflame and hurt even more. I went in the very next day to Vanderbilt Medical Center, and they told me about 85% of my body was already cancer cells in a month.
Wow.
That's how fast-acting acute leukemia is.
So if you had not had the incident with your hip,
correct,
when would you have found out?
We have no idea. I was not scheduled for any physicals, nothing. I mean, it could have been detrimental to me. I was exhibiting no symptoms of anything until that hip hurt. And so that's what they were saying. It could have been months before we figured everything out, and it would have been a lot harder at that point.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Now, you formed a bond, I remember, with Ryan Johansson. Tell
yes.
us about that.
Yes. So I have no idea how this doctor did it. I call her Dr. J. She has some type of connection with Ryan Johansson, and he actually visited me in the hospital. one of the best things in my life was seeing that I had just heard not some bad news, but not the greatest news, that round one didn't work. I was going to have to go through another round of chemotherapy. It was going to be more intense and probably some more side effects. And all of a sudden, Dr. J comes in, "I have a surprise for you." And I was like, "Okay, you're a Blackhawks fan. I don't know how much I can believe what you're saying right now." And she goes, I have a Predator surprise for you." I was like, "Now I know you're lying. I mean, come on." And he walks around the corner and he just walks in and for 30 minutes just spent time with me. I mean,
wow.
Just talked. We talked about hockey. We talked about school. We talked about everything. What I said, the best part of that was for 30 minutes, I wasn't a patient. For 30 minutes, I was just a fan getting to talk to one of his idols, and it was incredible.
So tell us how the process has gone, because as you said, you've gone through a lot, and here you are. You're full of energy. You're feeling good.
Yes, sir.
So just what was that like, just the fight?
The fight for me has been humbling. So I've gone through 5.5 rounds of chemotherapy. I went through rough chemotherapy. I went through maintenance chemotherapy, all different kinds. I ended up having a bone marrow transplant in August. My donor actually is an international donor. We don't know who this is yet. Hopefully we'll get to meet him this August or her. We're not sure yet. But out of the 17 million people on the registry, I matched with 3 total people. Oh. And it blew my mind. I mean, Whoa. It was the same odds as the NCAA perfect bracket. That is the same odds as making a perfect bracket. Is what
Are
my
you
donor
serious?
Was.
Wow.
Yep. So getting to meet that donor is just going to be incredible. But yeah, it was a long fight. It was lonely at times. Other times I would see the support. I had friends, family, strangers just reaching out to support. But for my thing that stayed consistent, and you can ask anyone, for my fight was to stay positive. No matter what it was, I wanted to make people laugh. So I would play jokes on the nurses on the 10th floor of Vanderbilt. I hid pictures of myself that I was not supposed to be doing, like wearing my favorite t-shirt or, you know, buzzing my head, doing anything, just trying to bring others happiness or joy through one of the toughest parts of your life. So
you spent almost 2 months
Correct.
On the 10th
yep.
floor?
I spent 56 consecutive days on the 10th floor. Got to come home and start outpatient treatment, which was a blessing. But then I also had to go in every weekend for about 2 months, or roughly 2 months, until it led up to my transplant. So.
And so how have things been since the transplant?
Ooh, that is it's a whole new ball game, is what I said. So after my transplant, for 100 days, I had to have 24/7 care. And so I got to know my mom real well. I joke and everything like that. I mean, we pushed each other's buttons like you normally would if you had 24/7 care. But I am extremely grateful, because we were told some cancer patients can't have a transplant because they don't have that care. You have to have 24/7 watch, because if a fever spikes, you have to go in the hospital. It was 101.5. I was in the hospital. No questions asked. So for 100 days, it was testy. It was me and mom getting on each other's nerves, me and dad getting on each other's nerves, my aunt, my brother. I mean, all family and friends knew that it was necessary, but it was hard. After the 100 days is now when I've officially got to do a little bit more. I still wear my mask today just because my immune system isn't quite where they want it to be, but it's more precautionary now. I'm getting able to do more things, but my energy level still isn't where it once was. You know, I'm hoping to get back to it. And I'm actually going now to physical therapy for my hip, because in the fall or the early next year, I'll have to actually have surgery on my hip, which is what started this whole thing. So I still got a long way left to go.
Wow.
We are doing stuff to raise money for you all day today here on the airwaves at ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we're going to give somebody who donates to Team Reed until 6 o'clock tonight. They'll be qualified to win a VIP draft experience with ESPN's Golic and Wingo and First Take at Nissan Stadium next Friday. Of course, the NFL draft is going to be in our city. First round is next Thursday. Mm-hmm. Reed, your main goal is to find cures for blood cancer.
Yes, sir.
So any amount will help.
Absolutely.
Go to our Twitter account, at 1025 The Game, to learn how to donate. And so you've been nominated for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as the Man of the Year candidate.
Correct.
And what has that been like for you to now go through all this and now tell your story?
It's been incredible. I say just one of the best experiences of my life. You know, I got to see firsthand what the LLS as an organization can do for a patient and a patient's family. So in order for me to give back in just the slightest has been amazing for me. I know the LLS as an organization does so much more. I mean, they, out of the 34 cancer researches for new chemotherapies in 2017, the LLS was part of 31 of them. I mean, it is incredible the amount of research that they go to developing and really learning about how to cure these cancers. And then they also take care of the patient's family. So I remember for me, my some of my medications were up in the thousands to tens of thousands of dollars. And my family was looking around like, oh, what, you know, we got to figure out, because it's honestly a do or die at that point for these medications. And the LLS stepped in and said, we're going to help with our copay assistance. We're going to help your family out to get this medication that you need.
Wow. That's fantastic. We'll keep getting the word out.
Thank you.
We're going to try to raise some money for you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Keep fighting the fight. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing really good things. Thanks for coming in, and we'd love to follow up with you getting here real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Especially if all of the stuff that you do works and there's a parade one day.
There's got to be a parade here. Exactly. Everyone do it.
All right. I hope we're talking to you in June.
Sounds good.
Reid Besh. We're going to keep getting the word out for him. He's a unique story, a unique individual, and we really appreciate him stopping in, getting a chance to hang out with him. We're going to keep getting the word out and doing some good things for Reid Besh today. We will come back. Hal Gill will kick things off in the second hour of Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game.